Welcome for those of you joining us online. Glad to have you guys here. If you're in the house, welcome, welcome, welcome. My dad sends his love. He's preaching at New Hope Windward today, our family over on the Windward side. So he's sharing there for Father's Day. I'm excited today because I get to share the word with you today. Hey, today you're going to need a Bible. In fact, every Sunday you're going to need a Bible. We're passing them out this morning. We're trying something new today. So if you need a Bible, raise your hand. They'll come and bring you one. You're going to want to be in the Bible today. If you have a phone Bible, we're in the NIV. If you got a bunch of these in your car, bring them back because they cost money. And we're trying to give them away as much as possible. So if you know someone that is new to church, new to the Bible, this is a great place for them to be because we're going to use this Bible. I was talking to Diane earlier about the idea that typically I'll preach from my personal Bible, and it's, you know, I've been usually doing this. But I thought there's people that are new to church, new to reading the Bible. So if that's you or someone you know, tell them to come on Sundays because we're going to be opening up this same Bible. So I got the same one you got. And we'll be going to, you know, Romans 1 and all this stuff. But if you're new to Scripture or someone you know, I'm going to say turn to page 1125, you know, stuff like that, like school, because it's easier because you get to know it a little easier, right? So that's kind of the whole heart of this thing. And if you're someone who gives here at Metro, just know your giving goes to stuff like this. So we buy Bibles and we give them out because we want people to have the Word of God in their hand. If you agree with that, would you say amen? Now, I know in today's day and age, we use phone Bibles on your phone or whatever. I do that too, but it's good to have it in your hand too. So we'll do both of that today. Now, we're going to be in the book of Romans and in 1st and 2nd Peter. Let me get us there. So you, until there, you can turn to page 1126. We'll be in Romans 1. But let me share a little bit before we get to Romans 1. Okay, so let me prime the pump a little bit. One of the best things about being a father is sharing what I love with my kids, is sharing the things that I grew up doing and things that are dear to me with my children. So whether it's different foods that I love eating and seeing them enjoy it, whether it's sitting at the counter at Aliha Bakery and them enjoying that same thing, or what's cool nowadays is they're rebooting a lot of old cartoons. So it's not just the old school Ninja Turtles, they're redoing them, and I'm watching it with my kids. It's a lot of fun. It's not just the old school Muppet Babies, there's a new Muppet Babies, and we get to watch it and laugh about it. What's funny is everything old is new again. There's a new He-Man on Netflix, which is really weird because I grew up watching He-Man, but it's like a new version of it, and I don't understand it at all. However, the old school Muppets from the 70s, I grew up watching. My mom and dad would plunk me in front of the TV, and they'd make dinner, and I'd sit there and watch the Muppets. So Disney has all the old stuff. So the other day, I showed them like the old school Muppets, and my daughter and my son, they loved it. And they were watching, "It's the Muppet Show with Kermit the Frog!" And the part that really made me realize they loved it is we were sitting at dinner. My daughter and my son, they look at each other, and they go, "Mana, mana, doo, 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 mana, mana." I was like, "You get it, yes!" The best part of being a dad is sharing what I love with my kids. It's pretty funny. One of the things that I got to recently do just yesterday, so it's kind of fresh, I want to show you guys, is take my daughter to go ride waves in Shore Break. So we usually go to Ala Moana Beach Park, no waves, real calm, real mellow. But we went to Sherwoods. And if you're familiar, there's a little bit of Shore Break, a little bit of Manowar. So I was like, "God, please don't let them get stung by Manowar on their first time in Shore Break." And thank God he answered, because no Manowar, why not? I looked around, went into the water. It's all good. It's all clear. So we went into the water, and my daughter caught her first wave. You want to see it? Take a look at this. Look at this. This is my little girl. Goggles, everything. So she did really well, caught a bunch, and then this is her first wipeout. Scorpion. Back of the heels, met the back of the head, bunk. And she got up, and she went, "Yeah!" And I went, "Yeah!" Like, oh, thank God she's not traumatized for like sand everywhere. Just had a good time. You know what's funny is this is not just fathers. This is human nature, right? Human nature, we share what we love. Isn't that true? You don't even have to believe in God to know that this is true. Our society shows this is true. Yelp reviews, social media, taking pictures of your food, taking pictures of your family, sharing it. We share what we love. If you love something, you can't help but share it. I mean, maybe you got a friend, maybe you're the friend where you're at lunch with friends and you go, "Oh, look what me and so-and-so did." And you show pictures because you had a really good time doing it. Maybe you talk about a certain place you got the best bowl of ramen you've had in forever. Or have you seen this movie? It's so good. You share what you love, right? That's just who we are. Why don't we do that about faith? about loving Jesus. You know why? Because I don't want people to feel like I'm cramming something down their throat or being offensive or being divisive. And yeah, that's true. But when you talk about your restaurant, you're not being offensive or divisive. When you talk about that show you watch, you're not forcing them to watch it. Why don't we talk about our faith in such a way? Because we love it. And that's it. We love Him. We love Jesus. If you love Jesus, why don't you share what you believe in such a way that doesn't put people off, neither does it bash them over the head with the Bible, neither does it force someone to believe what you believe, but you just share what you love. Is there a way that we can actually share the hope that we have in Christ in such a way that isn't off-putting to others? Because maybe you're here, or maybe you're watching, or maybe you're listening, and you're not really down with the church Christian Jesus thing because it was pushed on you. Whether by well-meaning people that you were raised by, whether a school that you went to, whether something that you had to be a part of. Maybe you're off-put by the whole church Jesus thing because someone like forced it on you. Hey, on behalf of church and people of faith, I'm sorry. We never meant to sell you hard or force you into something because honestly, I wouldn't like that and I bet it turned you off too. However, there's got to be a way to share what we love in such a way that shows this Jesus that has brought us life. We're in week 9 of this Rooted series we've been doing. We've been studying this idea of how do you share this faith that you have? And I thought about the simple fact that on Father's Day, I remember all the advice that my dad gave me and stuff that he shared with me. I've got a love for kalapana and old Hawaiian music like that because of stuff that my dad shared with me. I've got his old 6-string ukulele with handwritten notes on how to play different songs like Nightbird and all this other kind of stuff. He shared what he loved with me, and I'm so grateful for that. Why wouldn't we share this faith that we have, this Jesus that we love? Perhaps it's because we believe in God, but we don't love Jesus. Remember, when it comes to the Bible, someone asks Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? How do you summarize the Bible? Jesus goes, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He never said, believe in God, because to believe in God is an intellectual agreement that God exists or Jesus existed. Believing in Jesus is like an intellectual, I think it's true. But it's different from loving someone. To intellectually agree that God exists is one thing. It's here. But to love Jesus is an emotional, if you will, spiritual kind of part of affecting the way that we live our lives, make our choices, treat others. Loving God is different from believing in God. Let me give you an example. This past week, my wife and I celebrated 7 years of marriage. And if we celebrate our 7th anniversary, give a hand to Kara because she is a patient woman. I just went along for the ride. Anyways, if I celebrate our anniversary and I believe 7 years ago this happened. 7 years ago, we said I do. I believe it, so I'm going to write you an anniversary card. 7 years ago, we got married. It's kind of like it is your birthday. You know, it's factual. But it's different when you believe it. Versus 7 years ago, you said yes, and I'm so thankful. And I love you, and I want to love you with all my heart. There's a difference between believing something and believing something. Perhaps you believe God exists, but sharing your faith is weird because why would you ever talk about something like that? Shouldn't faith be a personal decision? Yes. Yes, it should be. As should every other decision someone else makes. It's personal. They should choose on their own. As much as I need to choose on my own what I actually believe. See, I grew up in church, and I believed in God. But I didn't really love Jesus until I met Jesus for me. It changed my life. Because it changed my life, why wouldn't I share what I believe in a good way, not in a pushy, off-putting kind of way? I think this morning, we need to consider, how do you have this hope? Where does it come from? We're going to be in the book of Romans. We're at page 1126, Romans chapter 1. If you're using the House Bible, it's page 1126. I like that phrase, the house Bible. It's like, I'll have the house wine. We don't have a house wine, we have a house Bible. Page 1126, this is Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I know some of us are seasoned believers, awesome. If you're new to the Bible, it's made up of different books. One is called Romans. Under each book is a chapter, and in the chapter is a bunch of verses. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Here's what it says. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Most of us will say, no, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Okay, then are you willing to talk about it when the situation arises? Let's go back to the marriage metaphor. I think most of us are, not most, some of us are afraid of coming off too strong as Christians. Let's go back to the marriage metaphor. That's like if I was like saying all over the place, it's our anniversary. It's our anniversary. I love my wife. I love my wife. Posting. I love my wife. I love my wife. I love my wife. I wear a t-shirt. I love my wife. Bumper sticker. I love my wife. I love my wife. I love my wife. People are like, dude, we get it. You love your wife. I'm not telling you to be that person spiritually. But neither am I telling you to go to the polar opposite end and be like, yeah, I'm married. Yeah, I'm married. Take off my ring. Yeah, I'm married. Yeah. Are you married? Yeah. I'm like, no, don't be ashamed. Is there a middle ground we can take here? Of being confident of, yeah, I'm married, yeah. But not blasting the whole world every single time I get a chance to tell them, hey, sir, can I take your order? Yeah, I'll take a grande soy latte, and I love my wife. It's like, no, dude, take it easy. Like, I get it. But is there a way that you can still do that? Absolutely you can. And today we're going to dive into how can we not be ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God, but still do so in a way that brings people along to see the hope that we have. Let me go back to some of the objections about why perhaps we're not talking about our faith. Maybe we feel like we don't know all the answers to all the questions people might ask us about God. That's fair. Maybe we feel like someone is very vocal on the opposite end of not believing in God. Maybe we feel like we don't want to make the friendship weird, because like we get along, we talk about everything else, but we don't talk about faith or politics or anything like that. We talk about religion or like, no. That's true. I get it. I got friendships like that too. Maybe we feel like, I'm not a pastor. How can I speak on these things? Or we fear rejection or confrontation. Or maybe at the core of it, we just don't want to look weird. Hey, newsflash. If you love Jesus, people already think you're weird. Because you know what they're doing Sunday morning at 9 o'clock? They're sleeping, and you're here. You're listening to this. You're already weird. You might as well just own it, right? Own the fact that you have this faith, and it's brought you life. And if Jesus hasn't brought you life, then perhaps you don't really know the Jesus who is the author of life. And he wants to meet you. He wants to show you there's a legitimate good reasons for why we believe what we believe. And it's not just because you were raised in church or people made you go to church. There's something to be said about the gospel being really good news. If it really was life-saving news, why wouldn't we share it? So let me take you on a continuum. Consider 0 to 100. And on 0 to 100, 0 being 100 being whoa, 0 when it comes to sharing our faith is we become very passive. Some of us, we become very passive. And when we become passive sharing our faith, we don't talk about it. We don't let it affect our lives. It doesn't get into the way that we make decisions or treat people. In fact, although we attend on Sunday morning, if someone were to hold up our life to other people's lives, it wouldn't look very much different by the things that we say or do. Or perhaps we become passive because we think to ourselves, I'm just going to fly under the radar and let my actions do the talking. People will know what I believe by the way that I live. And if that's you, awesome. Our faith should be loud in our actions. But make no mistake, there is absolutely a time to use words. The old saying goes, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. And if you're on the zero passive side, you go, oh good, I'm off the hook. I just have to be nice and be kind. I don't have to explain what I believe. I just have to be good and everything. Be good. Be respectful. Be gracious. Be gentle. But if you never use words, then you're never actually articulating what you believe. You're never actually showing the reason for your hope. And the danger is we get lumped in with every other nice person who could care less about God. And there's a lot of nice people who care less about God. Perhaps our hearts have been changed because of Jesus, and therefore our lives reflect it. If that's true for you, would you say amen? That your heart has been changed because of Jesus, and therefore our lives reflect it? I don't know if it's because in Hawaii we have this predominantly Asian culture, which is don't talk about a lot of stuff. I don't want to share, I don't want to be pushy. But one day, You and I are going to stand before the living God, the eternal judge of all creation. And he's going to ask us, hey, did you believe in my son? Yes. All right, welcome. Your sins are forgiven. Welcome to heaven. Who did you bring with you? I'm sorry, what? Who did you bring with you? Oh, I thought it was a personal faith. It is. It's your personal choice. Who did you share that hope you have with? Was I supposed to do that? Yes, Matthew 28, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Wasn't it the pastor's job? Well, you can also share what you believe. What about that person you've worked with for 20 years? Did you talk to them about the hope, the life that I brought into yours? Did you talk about how I've forgiven you and you've been walking free from that old life? No. We talk about football. Okay, that's nice, but what about that person you went to school with since little kid time and you saw them go through their ups and downs? When they were down, did you pray for them? Did you offer to be with them? Did you tell them that I love them no matter what is happening in their life? Oh, I thought it was rude to mention how much you love them because they were feeling pretty bad. That's why I put you in that friendship, to show them how much I love them. Oh, God, I thought it was your responsibility to go do all that stuff. How come I gotta do it? Because if I gave you life, your job is not to hoard it, but to share the life I've given you. One day you're going to stand before God, and he's going to ask you two things. He's going to ask you, what did you believe about my son? It was your faith in Christ. And then who did you share that with? And if you're someone like me who gets kind of sheepish, and I don't want to talk about it, and gets a little scared, a little anxious, a little people-pleasing, a little, I don't want to rock the boat, hey, listen, you can share your faith without rocking the boat. But there's got to be times when we're vocal about, man, God is good and he's helped me. This morning, I want to encourage you to consider, yes, use words, use actions, but I want you to consider, how can they believe what they haven't heard about? Go to Romans chapter 10, same book, Romans 10 verses 14 and 15, House Bible, page 1135. Romans 10, 14 and 15. Page 1135. This section of Romans in chapter 10 talks about if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart he rose from the dead, you'll be saved. That's like a huge flag in the ground of salvation. But then consider this. Look at verses 14 and 15. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Ah, pastor, that's the problem. I don't want to be preachy. Okay, then don't be. Don't be. Just share. Just talk. Don't misinterpret that word about preaching. Like you have to do what I'm... No. Just talk about how your life's been different. Verse 15. And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. What does that mean? Church aside, have you ever had someone come and bring you good news? Like if someone, I remember when my dad was sick in the hospital and times were really bad and it was low. I remember when the doctor would come in and give good news that things were getting better. It was like, thank you. Like, I could kiss you. Thank you. Like, you're amazing. Even your feet are beautiful. That's the idea. How beautiful are feet of those who bring good news? Did you know that when you share this hope that you have, when someone receives it, not everyone will, but when someone receives it and they see this hope, did you know that their feet are more beautiful at that time? You don't need a mani-pedi. We got to share the gospel because it's good news to those who hear it. That's his concept here. So let me ask you, what do you really believe? I know that some of us here aren't fully on the God train. I get it. And if you're listening or watching and you might be on the, I don't know about church and God, and maybe you're agnostic or even atheist and you're just kind of exploring. At this church, we will never force you to believe something. No one's going to pressure sell you. No one's going to back you into a corner. No. You've got to make a choice. Just like each of us had to make our own choice. And if you're here and you're a minor, a student, you're here with your parent, they're making you come to church, they're doing it because they love you. My mom brought me to church my whole life. I didn't want to go. She made me go. I'm glad she did. But I know for some of us, it wasn't good for us. I get it. But listen, if you're a follower of Jesus and you love Jesus and you believe that with Jesus there's eternal life, last week, like we preached last week Sunday, we talked about there is an enemy of our soul, the devil. And he is against us. He's trying to kill, steal, and destroy our lives. If Jesus has come to bring life, then the opposite, Satan, is trying to bring death. And it's not just in this life, it's for eternity. And there is a godless eternity for those who don't want God in their present. And there's a God-filled eternity for those who love God and want him into eternity. Do you see that? Let me say that again. There's a godless eternity for those who don't want God in their present. And there's a God-filled eternity for those who want God in their present. Does that make sense? So let's accept the fact, the Bible calls it heaven and hell. And if you're someone who says, Jesus has forgiven my sin, I love Jesus, there's a God-filled eternity of heaven for us. But if you're someone who says, I don't need that, there's a godless eternity. Now, you may or may not believe that, but I love this quote because there are some atheists who are very vocal. And one of them, I've shared this quote before, it was a few years ago, but I wanted to share it again. He's a notable celebrity in the world of magicians, and he's one half of the Penn and Teller duo. Penn Jillette has been on talk shows, written books against God, and that's his words. But here's what he said. I've always said that I don't respect people who don't proselytize or share their faith. I don't respect that at all. If you believe there's a heaven and a hell, and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life, and you think that it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward, and atheists who think people shouldn't proselytize, who say, just leave me alone and keep your religion to yourself, how much do you have to hate someone not to proselytize? How much do you have to hate someone to believe an everlasting life is possible and not tell them about that? I mean, if I believe beyond the shadow of a doubt that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe the truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you. And this is more important than that. Penn Jillette does not believe in God. He is against the things of God. I watched a video recently and he said, I became a Christian. And I was like, oh my gosh, wow. And I watched the whole thing. And in the end, he goes, just kidding. And then he said all these expletives. And then he said, can you imagine? He just is against the church. And I thought, one day, like him, all of us will stand before the judge of our souls. And if you truly believe that because of Jesus, there's a heaven waiting for you, and if you truly believe that there's a godless eternity, then what are we doing about that? Now, I don't believe in Penn Jillette's words. They're not scripture. They're not. Because I'm not going to go tackle someone with the gospel. But I'm going to share this hope that I have. Because I want them to have the same hope. Not from me, it's not self-righteousness, it's from him. And if you're offended by the concept of a godless eternity, if you're offended by the concept of hell, that's not my words, it's in here. And the Bible tells us scripturally what's true and what's not. Otherwise, we'll just make it up on our own. So we go back to the standard of what scripture tells us. Friends, if you're new to this whole church thing, I don't want you to feel pressure that you have to do all these things. No, no, no. Jesus loves you right where you are. But if your life has been changed and you found eternal life and love because of your Savior, why wouldn't you look for opportunities to share the hope that you have? Ah, because I don't want to be pushy, Pastor. Oh, I get that to the 100th degree. I get that. You know why I get that? Because I'm a people pleaser. I'm insecure. I worry what people think about me. I got friends that I don't want looking at me weird or acting all strange when I'm around. I don't want that either. So let's go back to our scale of 0 to 100, yeah? Remember we said we don't want to be passive. Oh, I'm just going to live. I'm not going to talk about it. That's 0. Then 100 is being pushy. You have passive and you have pushy. Nobody wants to be either of those things. Take religion, take church out of this. Nobody likes pushy people, right? When people push what kind of vacuum they use, where they work out, how much less carbs they eat. Nobody likes pushy people telling you what you need to do. You know what you should do? Oh, gosh. Nobody likes that. But is there a middle ground between passive and pushy? Yes, there is. There is. And I believe that middle ground is being purposeful. Purposeful. Knowing that between passive and pushy is this word purposeful. that God has hope for us, and if we're being purposeful in our relationships, then we're seeing, how can I share what I believe in such a way that brings people life, because Jesus has come to bring life? Let me show you what I mean. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. House Bible, that's page 1227, towards the back. 1 Peter 12, 27. How do we be purposeful in our friendships? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, page 1227. This whole section on 2 Peter chapter 3 is about eternity. Take a look at verse 7 if you're there. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. That's in Scripture, my friends. Verse 8, don't forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Verse 9. Can we read verse 9 out loud together? Ready? Go. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. What does that mean? God gives everyone a chance, and a second chance, and a third chance, and a fourth chance. God is showing his goodness and his beauty all over the place. Would you write this somewhere? God wants everyone to take one step closer to him. God wants everyone to take one step closer to him. Sometimes we don't share our faith because we're like, I don't know how to lead someone to Jesus. What do I say? What do I do? There's things we're going to teach in the future about that, but would you consider this, this metaphor? Instead of 0 to 100, would you imagine 0 in the middle and positive 10 and negative 10? Imagine that. 0, positive 10, negative 10. Let's say that 0 is when you come to faith in Jesus. So that means negative 10 is when you're super anti-God, and positive 10 is I love God. Got it? Love God, hate God, 0 is faith. Most people you know who aren't following Jesus aren't negative 10s. There's some people who are anti-church, but most people who aren't following Jesus are somewhere in the negative 1 to negative 6 or 7, if you will. Maybe you were raised in church, it was a bad experience. Maybe you got hurt in church. Maybe a church leader was not good to you. Maybe you've seen different things because of church and you've read different message blogs and you're on Reddit and it's super anti-faith. Oh yeah, it's all out there. There's all these things. Maybe you couldn't interpret different things about faith and how could Christians be so delusional? Maybe you grew up in church, in Christendom. You went to college and some intro to psych professor just railed against Christians and broke down all these arguments why Christianity is false. So you went from 0 to negative 1, negative 2, negative 3, and so on and so forth. Happens. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're from 0 to plus 10, your job is not to get people to make a decision for Jesus. Your job is to share the love, hope, and grace that Jesus has given you, how he shares that with them. And then it's God's job, it's the Spirit of God, his job, to move them from negative whatever toward the positive. And it's probably one or two clicks closer to Jesus. Some faith anthropologists say that it takes 7 positive interactions with a Christian for someone to actually consider faith being a viable option. Let me say that again. Some faith anthropologists believe that it takes 7 positive interactions with a Christian for someone who's against God to even consider that faith is viable. I want you to think about the fact that there's no pressure in sharing Jesus because the pressure's not on you. You don't save anyone. God saves them. Isn't that great? I'm not the Savior. He is. There's one Savior. And it's not me and it's not you. When I was a high school pastor, I remember I had some boy who didn't believe in Jesus. Towards the end of camp, he wanted to receive Jesus, so they prayed for him, and he said yes to Jesus. It was really cool. And one of the students came up to me who was a part of that program. Was, Pastor Brandon, Pastor Brandon, Pastor Brandon. And the boy who said yes to Jesus, his name was Charlie or something. He goes, Pastor Brandon, Charlie said yes to Jesus. I saved Charlie. And I went, Jesus saved Charlie. You helped. It's like shake and bake. You didn't make it. you helped. Don't you love the fact that it's not about you? God just uses you to share the hope that we get to participate in salvation history of someone's life and heart changing. Isn't that amazing? God wants everyone to take one step closer to him. Like a harbor, God wants all ships to come home. Like a good parent, God wants his kids to come back to him. That's the idea of sharing our faith. So how do we do this? Here's what you got to do. You got to know two things. First, you have to know his story. You have to know his story. What does it mean to know his story? Well, do we have a slide for that? Know his story? Do we have a slide for that? Yeah, there. Thank you. We have to know his story. What is God's story? Well, in our Rooted curriculum, it talks about four easy things. And even if you're not a part of Rooted, here they are. It's creation, fall, redemption, restoration. Creation, fall, redemption, restoration. Big words, you're going to want to write them down. This is his story. I'm going to explain what each of these things mean. But it is the summation of the narrative of Scripture. Yes, Jesus said, if you were to summarize this, it would be love God with all your heart and love people. Yes. But the story of what God was doing from the Old Testament all the way to the New is this story. Creation, fall, redemption, restoration. Don't dilute the message of the gospel to Jesus loves you. You can go to heaven if you believe that. That's true, but it's overly simplified. Sometimes that works. Sometimes that's just needed. But I want you to know there's a bigger story at work here. Why? Otherwise, we take grand stories and we just dilute them to one-liners. Yeah? Like, I know I mentioned this last week, but forgive me, it's still on my mind. You watch the Star Wars movies, you know what happens with Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader and all this stuff. That's like reducing Star Wars to boy has daddy issues. Like, that's not the story. It's more than that. That's like reducing The Lion King to lion has daddy issues. It's more than that, right? That's like reducing the movie Elf, Christmas classic, to overgrown man has daddy issues. It's more than that. Here's the story of the Bible. And if you're new to the Bible, new to church, listen in. This is it. Creation. God made the world and it was good. God created the world we live in and it's beautiful and it's good. God created you, good. Your initial design was good. The second one is fall. But like every person in this world, all of us have given into the spiritual hereditary disease of rebellion and sin. All of us. No matter how cute the baby still says no when you tell him to do something. It's hereditary. It's spiritual. We all have this rebellious part of us. And sin is what happened in the very, very, very beginning. Yes, Garden of Eden, Genesis 3, where our first parents said, yeah, no, and did what they wanted to do. They chose their own way instead of God's. And you and I do the same thing. Here's what's said in our Rooted book. I thought this quote was cool. Sadly, human history is the story of coping with sin and its consequences. Sin is the natural bent we have to be independent and disobedient to God. Selfish, envious, judgmental, unmerciful in our relationship with others. Careless and greedy in our treatment of the earth. Undisciplined, indulgent, insecure, immoral in our own souls. Collectively, humanity's sin continually fills the earth with hatred, violence, racism, sexism, corruption, immorality, injustice, and oppression. This is not what God wanted. Fact, all of us in this room have sinned. We feel better about ourselves because we compare ourselves to others and go, at least I'm not as bad as them. Probably true, but we still make our own mistakes. We've still hurt people. We've still judged people. We've still acted selfishly against people for our own desires and comforts. All of us have sinned. Scripture tells us in the book of Romans that if we sin, we deserve punishment, death. But the good news is Jesus came, creation, fall, redemption, to redeem us from our sin. The world is made good, but it's tainted by sin. It affects everyone. You don't even have to be religious to watch the news and go, the world is messed up. Oh, that's not right. Someone ought to fix that. Jesus came to make it right. That's the message of the gospel. And Jesus came to forgive us of our sins when he died on the cross. His blood was enough to pay for all of it. And because Jesus has taken away my sin, therefore, my life is no longer marred and weighed down by the horrible things of this world. I am set free from it. And now, with Christ, I participate in making things better. Restoration. I participate with Him in bringing love into a hateful world, bringing justice into a world where things aren't fair, bringing kindness into a world that is selfish and merciless. Creation. The world is good. Fall. We've made it pretty bad. Redemption. Jesus came to make it better. Restoration. And now we get to participate in making bad things good. Dead things come to life. Have you seen those TV shows where people take old cars and restore them? Where people take old furniture? Have you seen people on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace taking old furniture, sanding them down, putting a new coat of lacquer, reupholstering the thing, and restoring it back to its mid-century modern original design? Jesus does that spiritually with us. I want you to know that Jesus is in the business of redeeming and restoring. And if you agree with that, say amen. That's the message of the gospel. It's not, believe in Jesus, you get one ticket to heaven. It's more than that. And if you want to just get real basic, it's God so loved the world, John 3:16. He gave His only Son, that if you believe, you receive eternal life. Yes, 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 yes. Creation, fall, redemption, restoration. Know His story. Hey, go to 1 Peter 3, verse 15 and 16. That's page 1222. 1222. Here we go. It's 1 Peter 3, 15 and 16. First Peter 3, 15 and 16. Peter is writing to a church that is being oppressed by the government. Remember, at this point in history, Rome was against the church. They were killing people for believing in Christ, feeding them to lions. It was bad stuff. But yet the church grew because lives were being changed. And people were putting their hope not in their circumstances, but in their God, in the future of what God had for them. 1 Peter 3, 15 through 16. Here we go. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with a gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. What does that mean? That means people were talking stink about Christians since there were Christians around. It always happened. So when people say, you believe in God, you're so dumb. Remember when Jesus says in Matthew 5, blessed are you when you're persecuted for your faith. Because remember, they did that to the prophets. Jesus said, blessed are you when people look at you like you're silly, you're low, for believing that there is an eternity, there's a loving God. But more than that, go back to the verse we just read. Verse 15, revere Christ as Lord. If you believe that Jesus is Lord, then have an answer to everyone who asks you for the hope that you have. So why do you believe in God? I grew up going to church. No. Why do you believe in God? I was talking to someone about this idea, and I said, hey, when was Jesus real to you? And they said, oh, I grew up going to church. I said, that's cool. When did you decide for Jesus? And they said, I've always believed in Jesus. I said, okay, cool. When did Jesus become real for you? I said, let me put it to you like this. I grew up in church too, but there was a point in my life when my life went like this, and I told the story, and then Jesus saved me, and I found hope in Him, and He was real to me. And now my life is different. And they're like, I don't know if I made that choice before. I said, okay, let me put it to you like this. My whole life, my dad drove a Nissan. He drove an old Datsun. Is that a Nissan? Datsun's a Nissan, right? Yeah? Okay, he drove a Datsun. He drove a Nissan Maxima when he could afford it. And then he sold that one. He bought a new Nissan Maxima with the weird triangle taillights. Remember those? He drove a new one. And then he got a truck, and then he drove a Frontier, and then he drove a new Nissan Frontier. So he's always been a Nissan guy. When I was old enough to buy my own car, I had to choose what I was going to buy. And since my dad bought Nissans, I bought a Toyota Corolla because forget you, Dad, right now, because I could afford a Toyota Corolla. And since then, I bought Corolla, I had a Toyota Matrix, and now I drive a Tacoma because I live in Hawaii. Anyways, everybody drives Tacoma. But I had to choose what I was going to drive. In your faith, you have to choose what you believe. You cannot just show up in heaven and go, I'm here because my dad believed and my grandpa believed, so here I am. What did you choose? You can choose Nissan. Go for it. That's fine. But if you're going to choose Jesus, make it your choice. No one can choose this for you. Because when it says here, have an answer for the hope that you have, keep a clear conscience, and do it with gentleness and respect. Some of us have to have gentleness and respect towards others that don't believe what we believe. Some of us don't want to follow God because people didn't treat us with gentleness and respect. And it's really sad when I hear this, that people who don't believe in God are kinder than those that do. Oh, may it never be. May it never be. May it be that we are more like Jesus, changed by Jesus to live like Jesus. Because how did Jesus treat people who are far from him? With gentleness and respect. And we need to do the same thing. When someone doesn't believe we believe, it's okay. We're not going to force anything. We've got to know his story, and you've got to know, here's the second thing, you got to know your story. You got to know your story. What was your life like before Jesus? When did Jesus become real to you? What was your life like after Jesus? What is your story? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, you're a new creation. The old is gone, the new is here. Praise God for that. Praise God. You hear me say this a lot. Praise God I'm not who I was. Before Jesus, my life was not that great. Then I met Jesus. So let me ask you this. Before Jesus, what was your lifestyle like? Who did you hang out with? What did you do for fun? Where did you find hope? Well, what are the things that helped you to cope with the inner turmoil of loneliness, fear of death, of emptiness in life? Before Jesus, what was your life like? And then here's the second thing. How did you meet Jesus? How did you come to terms with sin? How did you meet hope personified? How did you invite Jesus into your life? When did you receive forgiveness? And then finally, how has Jesus made a difference in your life? How do you find hope? How do you find fullness now, not in what you used to do, but what God is bringing into your life? How have your relationships changed? How do you see yourself differently? I'm a fan of the show The Office. It's not on the air anymore, but you can replay it all the time. I know all the quotes and all this dumb stuff about it. Did you know that the actor, Rainn Wilson, who plays Dwight Schrute, came to faith recently? And he went on record, and he had this video of him talking about the show was at an all-time high, and he was so empty inside. And he looked for meaning in all these things, but then he met God. He had experience with God, and he found hope because of Jesus. I went, that's it, that's it. Before Jesus, life was empty, meaningless, searching for vain pleasures, getting high, dropping low, and wanting to do it all over again. It's people that knew him, that applauded him, and then he found faith in Christ. And he said, I found meaning and eternity. And I thought, that's a changed life. What was your life? What is your, his story? Creation, fall, redemption, restoration. Your story. Before Jesus, I met Jesus, and now my life is different. Colossians chapter 4, oh, sorry. I'm going to close with this idea. What I'm asking you to do is show and tell. Remember back in grade school, you'd bring your toy and you'd talk about it, show and tell? This is the demonstration of God's love and the proclamation of God's love. Show God's love and tell God's love. Show Jesus' love and tell Jesus' love. Colossians 4, verses 2 through 6. This is a long one. Would you turn there? Colossians 4, 2 through 6. Colossians 4, House Bible, page 1184. Colossians 4, 1185, sorry. 1185, Colossians 4, 2 through 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being thankful, watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, God may open a door for our message, so we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you may know how to answer everyone. Friends, be wise in how you treat people who are outside of the family of faith. They haven't received Jesus yet. Be wise. Be gentle. Be respectful. Show them that there's this hope by the way that you live, and yes, with your words. Don't be afraid to show the love of God, but I think that's not really most of our problem. I think some of us don't want to tell. Today, God might want to use you to share this good news. In 2015, one of the great mysteries of the world was solved. Have you heard of that old Rap Replinger song, Tell Fate Yanagi I Love Her? You know that song? Yeah, if you don't know, you can Google it later. Google Fate Yanagi. It's a classic Hawaii comedy sketch by this guy named Rap Replinger. It's about this guy. Well, he goes, this is the story about the day that I died. Body surfing Point Panic, got caught in the tide, right? Got swept 500 miles out to sea. Took the Coast Guard 4 days to find me. And this guy is going to drown at Point Panic. It's not funny, but the chorus is, tell Fate Yanagi I love her. Tell Fate Yanagi I need her. Tell Fate Yanagi no go cry and no go out with. See, everybody know. If you don't know, go Google them later. Go Google them later. Okay. Go Google Fate Yanagi Hawaii. You're going to find out. 2015, one of the great mysteries to solve because the woman who is the real Fate Yanagi made herself known to the world. Her name was Faith Tochino, and she grew up with Rap as small kids, and he would always tease her, hey, Faith, 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 and she would go, Faith, Faith, my name is Faith, and he'd make all these funny jokes at her, and one day she was in college, she got a phone call, and it was Rap, and he said, hey, I wrote a song about you, and he played the whole song, and she goes, that's a great song, but one thing, you got to change my last name, because there's only one Faith Tochino. So they went to the phone book and they picked Yanagi. And the rest is history. Go Google them yourself later on. Not now. You're in church. Later on. Go find out the real Fate Yanagi. You can read the whole Star advert. Watch the YouTube. She tells about it. It's really funny. And I laughed. I read that stuff. She goes, yeah, my kids never know. My husband knew, but he couldn't tell nobody. I would bust him up if he told anybody. So I laughed and I thought, funny, huh? This lady, her whole life, that was her. But she's never like tell nobody. And now she told everybody, oh, we good times and so good, yeah. I thought, man, we kind of like that with our faith. We kind of like that with our fate, our faith. Well, we keep it to ourselves. We don't like telling, no, tell nobody, no, tell nobody, tell nobody. And then you hear at the funeral, oh, he loved Jesus. He did? He never even told me he went to church. Oh, he was really involved in his church. And oh, they was religious. Wow. Don't wait till your funeral for people to find out what you really believe. Don't wait till someone got to make a YouTube expose about your whole background. No, no. Tell them now. Tell them now. For some of us, show and tell. Show is easy. Tell is hard. Others of us, tell is easy. Show, we're not so good at that part. What is it for you? Where does God want you to show his love and tell it to others around you? Show the love of Jesus, demonstration. Tell the love of Jesus, proclamation. I want to challenge you this week to consider who you are showing the love of God to. I want you to take a step further and tell them how much he loves them. Who, how, where, when, that's up to you. But if you ask God, he'll show you. This Father's Day, can I speak directly to fathers? Hey, if you're a guy, would you tune in? I know you tuned out half an hour ago. That's okay. Tune back in. If you're a guy, listen up. Especially if you're a dad. Your job is to share your faith with your family. Why? Because spiritually speaking, God is going to use you like he won't use moms. It's just different. And God will use moms like they won't use dads. It's just different. Spiritually speaking, if you're a dad and you love Jesus, don't be afraid to share that with your family. Oh, but I'm a man of few words. Then sing it. No, just kidding. Don't do that. But maybe, just share how your life was different before Jesus. Now, age appropriate, right? But one day they're going to come to a time in their life where they need to hear the real truth about you, who you were before Jesus. And if you weren't a good dude, it makes the power of God all that more powerful. And how your life has been changed. Here's the beautiful part. There's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus. If your life before Jesus was bad, man, you've been forgiven. You've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Age appropriate, share why Jesus is real to you. If you're a dad, I want to challenge you today. Share why you believe this. And if you don't believe it yet, hey, I pray the Holy Spirit moves your heart to receive the love and grace that we've received. All I know is this. God has put you in certain relationships to share the hope that you have. If you agree with that, would you say amen? Let's all stand together. Let's finish in a word of prayer. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to eating Terry Burgers after service. Grab a burger, hang out, talk story. See if you can win at the putting contest. It's a good day to celebrate our fathers. Hey, let's all bow our heads together. Let's pray. Jesus, you are good. You're so good. Thank you for your show and tell that you did with us. You showed the love of God, Jesus, by the way that you lived, by the way that you lived sinless, how you forgave our sin. And then you told us how much we're loved by the life that you lived, forgiving your life on the cross for us. We just receive that afresh right now. If you never received Jesus before, it's not just believing God existed, but it's choosing to love him this morning. If you're here this morning, if you never received Jesus and you'd like to right now, would you raise a hand and say, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Make a decision for him today. Awesome. God, I thank you that we have received you. We know you. We love you. Help us to share that love with those around us. If you're here today and you know that you need to be more vocal about your faith, please don't feel pressure to have a whole theological treatise on what to say. Perhaps you can just pray for someone. Perhaps you can offer to be there for someone to support them through their tough time. Perhaps you can just say, man, God loves you and I'm here for you. That's showing the love of God. Don't be afraid to use words. And if you're here this morning and you're next to your father or someone who's a father to your children or something like that, would you just place a hand on them right now? We're just going to bless them. Father, we just bless our dads here in our church. We bless the dads of our kids who are here. We thank you, Lord, that these men, although not perfect, are doing the best that they can. And we pray, God, that you would help us as men to stand up for what is right and true. As dads, God, forgive us for times when we've fallen short. But we receive your blessing right now. Just bless every man in this congregation, father or not. Help us to be men of God that stand up for what is right and true. And in doing so, reflect your glory to the world around us. We love you, Lord, and we thank you again for these men. And now we set our eyes on you, we set our hope on you, and we say that we love you with all of our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.